your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be in chapter 2. Our focal verse will be verse 12. We'll back up and read verse 9 down to verse 12. And today, of course, we're celebrating Father's Day, and we're going to look at the idea of what being a godly dad means. Now, this is a little bit of an unusual verse to do that with, because really all we have here is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's reminding them of what he did for them, the relationship that he had. We know that Paul visited this church at least twice, and he'll write two letters to them. Now, this church had all kinds of problems, but primarily it was misunderstanding about future things. So that's why in both Thessalonica letters or Thessalonian letters, we hear Paul spend so much time setting out an orderly view of the last days. Now, that's not what we're going to do today, but it's something that he says here in chapter 2. In order to create that connection, to now give them the sense of his authority to tell them what they need to see in a right way, he conveys himself in that father figure. Now, actually, we're not going to do this, but back in verse 7, he actually does that in the role of the mother. And he says, like a mother, we cared for you. And then in verse 12, he switches a little bit, and he talks about as a father would care for his children, I've cared for you. And there are three things that he says there that I think give us really a pause to consider and think about what he means by that, because obviously Paul, as far as we know, was never a dad, but the role of dad in the New Testament times was one of prominence. And so this gives us a glimpse a little bit into that role. And then to use that today as we evaluate ourselves, dads, and the role that we have with our kids. Now, I will say this. I think our world today is confused by what a real dad is. And I think there are a lot of definitions out there for it, and obviously in our American culture today, the role of the dad has changed substantially. There are some segments that no longer see the importance of that role. But from a biblical standpoint, God's design was always that the father would be a prominent role. And so we don't need to shortchange that. We don't need to apologize for that. And we certainly need to see that as a challenge in our own lives, in the roles that we play as dads. And I'm speaking today not only to the biological dads, but also some of us who may never have had children are surrogate dads in a lot of ways. And so I think this role now can apply to us as well as we think about being a godly dad. Now, before we read, as I've said, we're going to read starting in verse 9, go down to verse 12. Let me pray, and then we'll come back, and we're going to put all of this under the heading this morning, 3 points today, some of God's expectations for a godly dad. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the blessing of this role as we celebrate it today. And so, God, I pray for us who are dads, and maybe we're not a biological dad, but we're a surrogate dad in some way. We have influence over young people, whether it be in our family or in our community or some role that we play, there is a prominence to what we do for you. And so, Father, I pray that all of our men today would find that challenge as Paul writes in this analogy, if you will, and understanding what that role is. I think for kids and wives, it's also recognizing the importance of that role. And in some sense, the responsibility, I think, that dads have for their families and their children and their wives. So, Father, I pray as we celebrate that today that this also turns as a challenge, maybe a time of learning for us as dads, to go through our checklist and to see, are we covering all of the things that we need to in that role as wives and children of our dads? Are we looking at them and understanding the importance of the role that they play in our lives and allowing them to lead us and to be the leader of the homes? Now, Father, I pray for that lost person who may be here. It could be a dad, could be someone else who's never truly accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. As we've just mentioned, there's a lot of confusion in the world today over just what a dad is. And I believe through the Bible and certainly through our faith as believers, we begin to understand the truth of what all that means. And so I don't think of a more perfect day than today than for a guy who needs to accept Christ to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But of course, we want to include anyone who you may be leading down that path. So my prayer this morning is that what you would do is challenge them through the work of your Holy Spirit. You would be whispering into their ear during this time of preaching that they need to understand who Christ is and accept Him as their Lord and Savior. The rest of us, Father, challenge us. Open our hearts to see ourselves the way you see it. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be reading out a New International Version today. That's a little different. But I like the way that it flows in this particular passage. So we catch this kind of in mid-conversation starting in verse 9. Really, all of chapter 2 is this conversation. So we're skipping into the middle of it where he gets to that point in verse 12. So start reading with me verse 9. And he says, "As surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardships. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you." We know the church was started there in large part by Paul's presence. And when he says we know that there were others that were with Paul often when he visited these places that churches were set up. He goes on then in verse 10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed." He's, again, setting up the authority that God has given him to be their pastor, their leader, their teacher, in some sense, their authority in understanding the truth. Now remember, they have terrible misunderstanding about when Jesus is returning. In fact, some in this church were already believing that the rapture perhaps had already occurred and they had missed it. And so you can understand the confusion. So Paul, in the middle of this, is trying to exert his authority. It's an important statement. And then he goes on, and it's in verse 11 that he establishes, if you will, what he'll tell us in verse 12, and that is this: "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children." Now I realize that's the role of the dad is not Paul's intent here. It's an analogy. It's a relationship. It's something familiar to those that are hearing this and reading this, that they would then be able to take their experience in that and now begin to equate to what he's going to tell them. It's an important use of a model for them. But it's also important for us, as we've said, because now it gives us cause to begin to examine what he tells us in verse 12. He goes on and he begins to outline the similarities between that role of a dad and the role that Paul and his disciples played. Look what it says, verse 12, "encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Now if you catch that, there are three things that he's telling us that are important about the role of the dad. And that's where we want to spend our time now, is kind of going back through this and looking at this. Now you may be familiar with that statement, lives worthy of God. He says the same thing in the beginning of the Colossian letter. And in that one, he says, live worthy of the title that you have. In this, he's telling us, be worthy of what you have been called to be. And that's a child of God. It's essentially the same thing. But it does become an important reminder of us that God has invited us into salvation through the power and strength of what Christ did on the cross. There is no other way. And so because of that, we now live under that umbrella every single day in whatever role we have, including that as a father. So let's back up and let's go through then the three things. You'll see these come across on the screen. The first one that he tells us that a godly dad does, or as we've said, some of God's expectations for a godly dad, number one, is to be an encourager. He tells us that in the first word of verse 12. Encouraging our kids, encouraging our wives, encouraging those that God puts in our path. They may not be your biological children, but you have the opportunity to be the encourager that God has put in their path. Encouragement is a must for those of us who have that responsibility. Now, when we begin to think about encouragement, encouragement doesn't always mean that we tell people what they want to hear. Sometimes that means encouraging them to begin to evaluate themselves, sometimes the mistakes that they make, sometimes the corrections that they make, sometimes the need to begin to seek forgiveness perhaps, and other things that come as a result of needing to be encouraged to do the right thing. But listen, understand this. You can't encourage others as that role of a father or a dad if you aren't being encouraged. See how this works? Now, you may not have a dad on this world anymore, but you have others that God is using to pour into your life. And so as you are being encouraged, then out of the outflow of your heart, I believe this, you begin to be able to encourage other people around you. And so it is important. Now listen, if you don't have that kind of person in your life, then certainly I hope you're getting encouragement from your relationship with the Lord. And if you're not, then you need to spend more time as a dad, a father, as an influencer around the Lord so that you can begin to find encouragement for the truth of what He's done in your life. If you aren't, and I'll say this to anybody, if you, whether you're a dad, mom, or whatever, if you aren't finding encouragement in God, then there's something not right, I believe, in your walk with the Lord. Now, we go through ups and downs. I'm not talking about those. There is an ebb and flow to life, but God's relationship with you is always out of the abundance of His love for you, and out of that, there is no other way but to be encouraged. Now, I'll say it. Sometimes it's perspective. You can look at the world and see it half full, or you can look at it and see it half empty. It's about perspective. And so you can look at things and be discouraged, but yet God is trying to encourage you through those. So it's about perspective. If you'll see it the way God wants you to see it, now you begin to see it half full, and the potential and the opportunity. And so encouragement for us as dads, as those who have that role, now becomes an important role with those around us and our children. Dads, when's the last time you encouraged your kids? When's the last time you're praying for them? I mean, you ought to be doing that. I don't know how you have the kind of relationship that I think God expects you to have with your kids, whether they're your kids or they're just surrogate kids for you. You just have this influence over them. If you're not praying for them, And webbing that responsibility that you have as one that God has given you, choosing to wear that hat, if you're not praying for them, how do you know how to encourage them? And the next one, we talk about comforting and teaching. How do you do those things if you're not spending time praying? See, I don't think the role of the dad is one that is exclusively cut off from the role that God has in your life. He's our Heavenly Father, and so out of that, we begin to translate that experience into what God has for us to do with our own kids and those around us. It's an important role, important enough. Now, I'm not trying to diminish any of the other roles. And we understand that God is neither male nor female, okay? But God chose to reveal Himself in that role of the Father. Now, if that doesn't sort of sink into your heart and begin to realize the responsibility of that role. Because for many, we begin to be, whether we like it or not, we begin to be that image of what God's love looks like and means and the experience of that. It may be unfair for you to think it that way, but God has chosen you to begin to love those around you, to encourage them in such a way that now you're reflecting Him. It's the greatest responsibility that we have as men, is to be able to reflect God. Whether we have biological kids or not makes no difference. We have that role. And we have that role in this church. We have kids who may not have godly dads, so they come into this church and they find examples of that in you and I. It could be in the ballpark, in the softball league, or wherever it is that God places you. He puts you in that role, whether you like it or not, as a godly man, being able to now begin to be that example of how God changes and transforms and impacts and encourages. And all of that is an overflow of what God is doing in our heart. Number two is this. He's very vivid in this. Just as a father deals with his own children by encouraging them, number two, by comforting them. Now, I've spoken about this a little bit. The natural instinct for a man is probably not comforting in the way that the female role does. We're just not wired that way. I've told this story before. Anytime my kids were scared or felt in danger, they called me. They would scream out, and I would come running as dad, and even as small as I am, I would protect them from whatever they were afraid of. But if they skint their knee or hurt, they would call for their mother because they understood her in that role of comforting. I don't know that when Paul writes this, he is meaning the comfort that a wife gives or a mother gives for a skint knee. He's talking about the comfort, listen to this, of presence. Being present with your kids. Being around enough and being not just physically present, but being an emotionally present dad where you now become a comforter to them without trying to reinvent your role, but just by your presence, you bring a comfort. Think of it this way, and I don't think, again, as I said a moment ago, it was by accident that God chose to reveal himself as the Father to you and I. But think about this, in times of doubt, in times of darkness, in the times of brokenness in your life, in the times of uncertainty, what's one of the most comforting things that you can be reminded of? God's presence. It gives a confidence. It gives a, he's with me. He's not forgotten me. He's not leaving me alone to figure this out by myself. I've learned as a dad sometimes, and it's hard for me, because I'm kind of a type A guy and I like to tell you things, but I'm learning more and more as I get older. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's just being present, not saying anything. And understanding that the presence is more comforting than any words that you can speak. I'm not wired that way, but I'm learning that. And I'm learning to be more quiet and silent and just be there in that moment. Listen, that comfort is things, guys, that we can't sometimes even begin to understand how it works, because I don't believe that that always comes very natural for us. But learning to grow as a dad also is learning to be more godly in that role and learning to be changed in the way that God needs you to be changed. And one of those is learning to be a comforter. Not a fixer, but a comforter. And now I'm stepping on toes. I'm this way too. I'm one that wants to fix it. I don't want to comfort you. I want to fix it. Tell me what's wrong, and I'll fix it. But sometimes, guys, you can't fix it. Or you don't even need to try to fix it. Your presence becomes, as we said just a moment ago, an encouragement, but it also becomes a comfort to our kids. And it's important. I don't know where I've gotten that idea that the dad is the fixer and I'm going to fix everything up. And sometimes as I've gotten older and now have adult children, I can't always fix things. And it's learning that that's not my role per se. It's something I like to do, but don't be confusing that from the godly role that God has put you there. Listen, God didn't call you as a dad to be the fixer. He wants to fix it. He's called you to be his tool and vessel and his reminder to your kids of his great love for them, through the transformation and the change that he makes in your life. And that now begins to be an encouragement to your kids, and it becomes a comfort to your kids. But we should always remind them that it's God that's going to fix it in the whatever way he wants. And it's not the way we may think it needs to be fixed, but sometimes it'll be the way that he wants to fix it. And the world will look at that and say, well, that's broken. That didn't get fixed, but it is because it's the way God wanted it to be. God does work in ways that sometimes we can't fully grasp or understand or even comprehend. But he has a plan and a will, and that incorporates every one of us. And every up and down in life, ebb and flows, we say, that we go through. He's already factored that in. And so this role becomes important. It really does, the encourager, the comforter. And then the final one is this, and he tells us this, really in an unusual way. He doesn't use the word teaching here, but he does use that word in verse 12 where he begins to say encouraging and comforting. And then that final part, he says, urging you to live lives worthy of God. So to put that kind of in a modern term, that's to be a teacher. If we're going to be a godly dad and understand the role that God has given us, not only do we need to be an encourager and a comforter, but we also need to be a teacher. And again, you can't, we go back kind of through this, you can't encourage if you're not being encouraged. You can't comfort if you're not being comforted by God. See how this works? You can't teach what you don't know. And we're not just talking about the facts of life or the important things in life. It slipped me, and I realized my dad card or man card may get called in because I'd never really walked my children how to change a tire. And so I did that. That's not what we're talking about here. That is something useful that everybody needs to know, but we understand when God calls us to be a teacher, it is much more important things than that. It's about how to find the right husband. It's what to look for in a godly man. It's what a relationship with God should look like in a man. And now that begins to translate in our boys, our sons, to hopefully grow up and be the kind of godly man that God wants them to be. But maybe you helped kind of illustrate that just a little bit for them. It's not about you being perfect, but it's about you being used by God to now begin to teach them what really matters in life. And it's not just teaching in words. I'm not talking about lessons. I mean, those are all great, and devotionals and Bible reading, that's fine. But it's the demonstration in your life, the example that you bring, the way you react to things, now become some of the greatest lessons that those around you will learn. It's not about a curriculum. It's about how God uses you and the way that you walk your way through life, being that person that God wants you to be unapologetically, understanding the encouragement you get from him and the comfort that he gives you, that now you begin to encourage and comfort others around you in that role, teaching and instructing. Look what he says, urging you to live lives worthy of God. If you're not living that life worthy of God, how can you urge others? How are you going to have any credibility with your kids if you yourself aren't demonstrating those things? I think that's part of the lifelong journey that we have with our children. We begin this process from the earliest stages of their life. And this, by the way, applies both to moms and dads, whatever our role may be, that we begin to demonstrate that, and it's not the credibility. God gets the credibility, so don't misunderstand me. But if they don't see you as a godly person, and then you start telling them how important godliness is, and they don't see that in your life, then everything you say to them now is going to be under that question mark. Well, I don't see that in your life. And I'm not saying you got to be perfect. And I'm not saying that God's not changing you. But we understand sometimes that our own sins and failings can get in the way of being what God wants us to be to our kids. And so that's where we understand he forgives us. He changes us. We're transparent with our kids when we make those mistakes and helping them to learn through what really a godly father looks like. It's something every single day that God is teaching me to be a better dad, and he should be teaching you to be a better dad. And as we mess it up in his great divine way, he can work through that and correct that and help us to continue to find influence with our kids, with those around us, whether they be our kids or we're their surrogate dads or whatever it may be. He gives us that privilege to begin to pour into them, to live a life, as Paul says here, worthy of God. Now, honestly, we can never do that, right? When you get down to it, you never can be worthy of God, but we understand the title that God gives us, the forgiveness that he's placed in our lives. And every single day, we are trying to honor God and love him more and be the person that God wants us to be. It's an important role. It's one of those roles that God has set before us. Paul uses it as an example here that I think is important for us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. As we celebrate Father's Day, we're reminded of that role. Some of our dads have gone on to be with the Lord, perhaps. Some of us may have never been a dad biologically, but we have influence over kids. And as a godly man, that role becomes one that's important in our church and in our communities. And so whatever it is that has led us to feel like we are a dad, then I pray that we understand this role as dads and that we begin to live, just as borrowing Paul's words here, worthy of that title of dad or father. It's one every single day that we struggle with, I know. It's one that sometimes we're going to fail miserably at. But we know it's an important role that God still honors and wants to use us as an impact. It doesn't matter how old our kids get. We're always going to still be that role for them through every parts of their life. And it's a great privilege and an honor. But God, help all of us to understand that what we simply are a mirror reflecting what you're doing in our lives. Some of us are doing a better job than others at that. Some of us as dads have walked away from you. We're not in that relationship that you want us to have with you. We've allowed other things to get in the way. Or even worse, we've started to accept the world's view of a dad that now is one role less important. Father, help us to be focused on you and only you. And out of that, we then begin to discover that we become the dad that you want us to be. Now, Father, I want to talk to both the wives and the kids. In a lot of ways, we have to be willing to follow our dads in order for them to be the leader in our lives. And so it's a matter of understanding that role and accepting that role and being an encourager ourselves with our own dads. Now, Father, I pray for those lost people that we mentioned perhaps at the very beginning. That if they've come to that point now to where they want to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that is something that your Spirit and only your Spirit can lead them to do and begin to understand. I want to lead in just a short prayer that would be a guide for them as they walk that path to accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that prayer goes like this. Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm in desperate need of forgiveness. And I claim this morning what Jesus did on the cross now provides forgiveness and the opportunity for me to be in a relationship with you, God. He's paid the price for my sin, my debt. And so today I accept Christ as both my Savior and my Lord. And I choose this day forward to follow Him as my Lord. Now, if you've prayed that prayer and you're here, I'm going to encourage you in just a moment to come forward and share that with me. If you're at home or watching this or listening to this, then I want to encourage you to reach out to somebody that you know is a believer or call the church and share with us that you've made this decision. It is, by the way, the most important decision you can ever make. And so it's vital that you get some follow-up and encouragement as you move forward in this decision. Now here, I don't know where each of us are, but I know as a dad, we all have areas that we can give back to the Lord perhaps, be more focused on, spend more time being the encourager, the comforter, as we've said, or even the teacher. But whatever decisions we need to make this morning, guys, the altar is open for anyone, and I encourage you as you seek the Lord to make those decisions that He's calling you to make. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?